It's written at the end of the first centuries. So it's around, maybe around 70, 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrections. And it's written to the Christian community of Gentiles, or non-Israelites. And it's a letter, again, so it's going to be shorter, but it's still awesome. So let's start reading the verses for today. I'm going to read the odd verses. Please help me by reading the even verses. So 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Okay, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's bow down our heads and let's just quickly pray. Lord Jesus, these are the verses for today, Lord. I pray that the words today will bring a new revelation to us. I pray that your words today will bring changes in our life. And Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, that we are willing to listen, that we are willing to be open. And Lord, thank you so much, for you're a great God and you loved us. Amen. All right, so let me start with the questions. What would you say when you are introducing someone? Right, for example, if I'm to introduce Victor to Shelley, maybe, or yeah, whatever, to anyone single. No. So if I'm going to introduce Victor's, right, I'm probably gonna say, hey, you know Victor's, he's a student in DVC, he studied computer science. He can be quiet when you first know him, but after a while he's pretty crazy. You know, we both love reading manga, we both love the same Korean artist, right, Victor's. You know, that is how we introduce someone, right? If I introduce, for example, Daniel, right? Hey, you know, my friend Daniel, he's the product manager at Corning. You know, he has home in San Diego, he's pretty cool, he's professional, he's a Chega leader. Man, it's good, right? So I think most people will introduce someone like that, right? They will say about maybe their job, their family, their major, their school, and all those things. And I think that's the normal way of introducing someone, but let's read how John introduced this word of life, or as you all probably can guess, Jesus. He says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked, and our hands have touched. I think it's a bit little weird, right? I mean, if I'm introducing Daniel, I wouldn't say, you know, Daniel, this guy, I have seen with my eyes, our hands have touched. And, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, why does he introduce someone? I don't need to tell someone, like, yeah, I can touch Daniel. Yeah, of course, he's a human being, so I can touch him, right? He's not like a ghost or something. But in here, when you read a John letter to this Christian community, he says, you know, this word of life, I've seen with my eyes, you know, I've touched, I've looked at, and I've heard. I've heard him speaking. It begs me a question, like, why does he has to do it? And I think it's because this Jesus, his identity, his story, his works, it all seems too good to be true. Like, when, if you, you know, imagine John trying to speak to these people, and this is 70 years after Jesus' death. So he's not there, he's not present anymore. And then John is trying to tell to this community about this Jesus. I think the same problem that he has back then is still the same as today. Like, people are questioning, like, yeah, I've heard about this Jesus, maybe from your friends, your school, your family, but then, is he real? Is he really a person? Because it seems like the gospel is too good to be true. You know, like how come, you know, God for some reason came down as a man and then, you know, died for us and then sacrificed his life for us so that we can have a new life and blah, 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 and blah, blah. It's like, really? Does that really happen? And I think that same challenge that they have back then is still the same today. Like, if you're honest, I think deep down, maybe some of us or maybe a lot of people out there, they have this question, like, does Jesus really exist? Does God really love human that much? Does God really promise eternal life? Or is it this gospel, is it just another story, right? Like, story that can inspire, story that, oh man, I like it. Is that it? You know, a story can give you a burst of motivation. You might cry a little bit. But then I think at the end, a story can inspire, but only the gospel can really transform life. And this gospel, you know, it is a story about a person. But then when you receive Jesus with faith, Jesus who is the Word of life, which is the eternal life himself, when you receive him by faith, you will receive this eternal life. But then, do you really want it? You know, is this gospel, is what Jesus is saying, really a reality for you, or is it just a story? I mean, all of us like a good story, right? There's a lot of inspiring movie, you know, The Life of Pi, The Pursuit of Happiness, The Blind Side. I love The Blind Side. The Hidden Figures, I heard it's good, I'm going to watch it. But at the end, you know, all these are just nice stories. And as I said before, you know, you might get inspired, you might get emotional, but in the next day, life goes on. And it doesn't change your reality. So what is the gospel to you? Church, is it just a nice story week after week, Sunday after Sunday that you listen and just forget the next day? I mean, a lot of people sometimes comes to the church, you know, looking to be entertained, looking to hear some funny story or maybe some inspiration, some motivations. But I think we come on Sunday not to find that, but to find God himself. I think we should come on Sunday to be reminded that, hey, this is the new reality. You know, that God has truly come as man and has died for us, and that we who believe has a new life. How many of us, if we are honest, you know, let that be a new reality in our life that changed the way we relate to God, that changed the way we see ourselves, the way we treat other people? Or does the gospel just become another story in the back of your mind? Because, let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to believe, right? And sometimes it can be demanding. But John here is trying to remind us that, guys, you know, this Jesus is real. He's not like Disney movie, you know, once upon a time, there's this princess or there's this nice guy. It's not like Star Wars that happened in a galaxy far, far away. No, Jesus doesn't live in a galaxy far, far away. He came down here to earth. But then, does that change your life? Because I've seen two different groups of people. People who comes, truly believe, and have their life transformed. From brokenness to fulfillment, from sadness to joy. But at the same time, I've also seen a group of people that comes here Sunday after Sunday and even ministering, but then life just continue on. It's just the same life, same day, same depression, same challenges. Because for them, the gospel is just another story. For them, it's just some inspiration, some hope, faint hope. And they don't let the gospel to truly change their life. They don't let God to really work in their life. So I think this is, I think from the beginning, I feel like this is a challenge for us. And I just want to be honest, you know, for each of you to be honest with yourself and how you see the gospel. I mean, we celebrate Easter last week. Yeah, Jesus died. Jesus has risen. But has that changed your reality? Or is that just some celebration? Continuing, on 1 John 1:3, he says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The words that I want to highlight is fellowship. What is fellowship? Is it membership? Is it friendship? Is it togetherness? I feel like sometimes fellowship is that kind of word that we throw out in SAT tests, you know, some fancy word, or maybe when you write your personal statement and you try to put in some fancy words like audacious, or maybe what's usually the fancy word? I haven't really seen, you know, all those SAT words that you never use in conversation and you don't really know what it really means, but then it sounds cool. I feel like sometimes we in the church, you know, just throw out these words, fellowship, but today I think I want to go a little bit deeper on what it means with fellowship. A little background. It comes from the Greek words koinonia. It appears around 20 times in the New Testament and in the book of Acts, in Corinthians, and in 1 John that we just read. And there are a few different meanings, and I think the two meanings that I want to focus on today is the word sharing and partnership. So, what is fellowship as a sharing? I believe, I mean, these two sentences is what speak to me. You know, what it means to have fellowship. That when we have this fellowship, this koinonia with God, we share in his life and power through the Holy Spirit. And we also, when we have koinonia with one another, we place our lives in common and share our resources as brother and sister. So that is a fellowship. When John says, come, join our fellowship, and our fellowship is with God, the Father and the Son, I think this is what he means. You know, he's saying, come join us. You know, when you accept Jesus, when you believe in his resurrection, his death, you know, God gave us a new life. God gave us a new power. And that's why Jesus even tell this to the apostles, right? You know, I'm going to go, but wait for the Holy Spirit, and you will receive it, and you will do greater things than me. It's because when we believe in the gospel, God gave us this Holy Spirit. He shared in his divine life. Now that's why Paul keeps saying that, hey, your body is now the temple of the spirits. It's because God himself lives in us now. He gives his Holy Spirit in us. And I think that is a sharing, it's a fellowship with God. And because of that, we are now one family. That's why we say God is now our Father and the other believer is our brothers and sisters. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer just neighbors or friends, but we're supposed to be brother and sisters. And this is what John is trying to say. Hey, you know, you are a new community now. You're supposed to share your life together. And as Pastor said, you know, as a Christian, it's not just sharing, you know, having time, fun time together. It's not just having dinner together, watching movie together, but it's also sharing our life, our difficulties, our moments, and our weaknesses. Like how many of us come to Chege after Chege, and then when someone asks, how's life? It's good. Everything's fine, you know, as usual, blah, blah, blah. How's your day? It's fine, you know. I think let's be more open. I mean, we are supposed to be a family. It is tough. I mean, I have to admit myself. I'm one of those guys, you know, when I first come to Chege, when people ask, hey, how are you doing? It's good. I mean, work is fine. I'm still have a job, so it's good, blah, blah, blah. You know, but I never really open up because I have fear, right? I don't want to be vulnerable to other people. I don't want people to know what I'm struggling for. I don't want people to know what my weaknesses are, what kind of sins that I've been struggling for. But I think John is reminding us, like, hey, you are a new community now. We are all a new community now. So look at your left and right and just tell them, you are my new brother or you are my new sisters. And I hope that, I know it's kind of sounds weird maybe when you say it, but I hope that, you know, let that sink in, right? If you truly believe the gospel, that is your new reality. If you truly believe that Jesus saves you and you are now a son of God, that is your new reality. It's not just some nice word, hey, you're my brother now, hey, cool, yo. You know? It's not just, hey, you're my sister, awesome, it's nice. But we are called to really share in the life of a family. And yes, there will be disappointment, there will be conflict, a little gossip here and there probably. But let's learn to live together as a community. Because that is what Jesus called us to be, a new family. The next thing is partnership. So the word fellowship can also mean partnerships. And there's so many instances when Jesus say, hey, come follow me. Hey, I'll make you, you know, you have a new name. You'll be the fisher of men. And when God calls people and then, hey, you're now like from Abram to Abraham, you will be a father, you know. God has been calling humanity again and again to be part of his works. And God is not done. Some people think that God is this divine watchmaker. I don't know if you've heard about this, you know, the theory of God as the divine watchmaker. What that means is that, you know, a watch, if you open up, it's very complicated. There is a small thing. Sure, the one who makes the watch is an intelligent, is, you know, have the skill and everything. But once the watch is done, once it's ticking, you're done. Right? The watchmaker doesn't keep looking and keep changing the watch. Once the watch is done, it just let it run by itself. Let time's clicking and run it by itself. Until the battery died. And some people see that God is like that. Yeah, you know, I know there is an intelligent creator who create this world. It's all good. You know, he must be smart because he can create a human, but he's done his work. And it's now up to us. But I think that is not what Christianity is. That is not the kind of God that we believe. Because again and again in the scriptures, and even now, God is still calling us to participate in his works, in the works of healing, in the works of evangelizing, in the work of seeking the lost. There's a lot of things that God is calling us. And as the proverb says, you know, if people can see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. A lot of people are looking for meaning. Like how many, you know, there's even these terms called the midlife crisis or quarter life crisis, where people are wondering, oh, what am I doing in this life? You know, what is the meaning? I come to work, I feed my family, but then I'm just doing this again and again. It's because they lost sight of what their life supposed to be. They lost sight of what's the purpose in their life. And life become meaningless, and they start seeking all over things that they think can satisfy them. Right? When people can see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. They start to think that, oh, having more things will give them meaning. Having a higher position will give them meaning. People look for a lot of things. But then eventually, as the proverb says, when you attend to what God reveals, when you attend to God's work, you'll be most blessed. And thank you, amen. And instead of just going through and talking, I'm going to just share my a testimony. It's That is my cool cousins. His name is Edwin, and that is his wife. And so Edwin's mom is my aunt. She is the elder sisters from my mom's family. And they both live in Jakarta. My aunt still lives in Bandung because we are from Bandung. And I think the sad story about him is that his dad left them when they were little. Just gone. And I never knew him because when I was born, when I'm start knowing things, he wasn't there anymore. He never visit, he never show up in the family gathering, or he just gone. He just left them. So it's just my aunt and my cousins. And you know, it's a blow to my aunt emotionally, spiritually, financially. She's a single mom. She was a hairdresser, so it's not like she's making a lot of money. So it's a big blow, and it's bitter. It leaves bitterness in her hearts, and she, you know, she still believes there is God somewhere, but it's more of this God of the watchmaker that doesn't do anything, because otherwise, how come this pain happened to her? How come her husband just left the family and ran away and never came back? You know, all this bitterness just there in their life, in her life. And then, of course, over years, my mom has tried to, you know, share the gospel, has tried to encourage her. Even my cousin himself, he's a Christian. I'm going to save his conversion story for a different time. It's also amazing. He's a Christian, and he has tried to share with his mom about, you know, about Jesus, about God and everything, but his mom, my aunt, just remained indifferent. Just like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, that kind of indifferent and that kind of apathetic. And last year, or maybe 2 years ago, my aunt started suffering from a nerve damage. She worked as a hairdresser, right? So she, you know, do a lot of haircuts when she was working. And I don't know if you've done artworks or hand, like cutting things basically for a long time. You can feel the tension, right? You can feel, oh man, my hand, they are tired. And then imagine she worked in that career for years and years. I mean, she's working hard because she needs to feed her son and all the expenses. So now the burden accumulated, and it kind of hurt her nerves. And so she went to different doctors, she went to acupuncturists, but nothing really works. And late last year, my cousins felt that God is calling him to visit his mom. I mean, he's still visiting his mom, but then he felt that God is calling him to go visit his mom and specifically to pray for healing. And of course, when he felt that, he was like, I'm not sure, it may be my imagination, I'm not sure, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's kind of weird. So he spent some time, you know, praying, he spent some time making sure that it's God that really calling him to do that. And eventually he did obey, and then he gonna go with his family and the two young kids visiting his mom, and then he tell his mom, like, hey, I'm going to visit. I feel like God is calling me to pray for you for healing and blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, he went to Bandung on Saturday. He drove from Jakarta, and then he arrived, and then he tell his mom, okay, and then he start praying. And his mom was like, sure, pray. I mean, other people has prayed for me. So, yeah, whatever. You're a good son. Just do it. And my cousins, when because he felt called, right? He has conviction and everything. He start praying and praying. You know, he pour his heart. Oh God, yeah, please heal her, my mom. Blah 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 blah. He just, you know, just full faith, just giving his all. But nothing. Sadly, and my aunt, you know, at the end, just like, see. And then, of course, that was a big blow for my cousins, right? I mean, he felt disappointed. He felt humiliated a little bit, I guess. I mean, he has traveled far and then, you know, speak his intention. He felt God is calling him, but then nothing happened. So at the night, he was complaining. He was are disappointed and feeling down and everything. And then come the next day on Sunday, before he left, you know, driving back to Jakarta, he said to his mom, "Okay, mom, let's just pray." I mean, he's just gonna, you know, general prayer, just because they're gonna live apart for some months again. So he just want to pray for his mom. And then he's still feeling down, so he just, "Okay, God, thank you for this time, blah, blah, blah." You know, just half-hearted prayers, kind of the prayers that you, you know, when you are about to sleep, but you remember you haven't prayed, and you're feeling bad. You know, that kind of prayer is just half-hearted, just say whatever you think you need to say. So he's that in that mood because he's still disappointed. And then midway on his prayer, now it's mom that's suddenly crying and sobbing, and then so now he's confused. It's like, what's going on? Do I say something wrong? Do I hurt my mother's feeling when I pray? And then so he just quickly finishes his prayers, and then his mom's still crying, and then so he asks, like, "Oh, what happened, mom? Did I say something wrong? Did I offend you in my prayers?" And then my aunt says, "No, it just, when you pray for me and when you just start praying, suddenly my hand was massaged, and it felt good, it felt warm, it's comforting, and the pain goes away. And then I just feel relief, and my tears start flowing down from my eyes. I mean, I don't know what happened." And they're just both speechless, right? Like, my cousins are, I guess he probably has mixed feeling. You know, he's, "Yay, you know, my mom experienced God," but at the same time, like, "Oh, wow, I wish that happened yesterday." But I think that is, you know, that's a real story. I mean, that is how he really did become God's partners in, you know, in his healing works. And I think this is where I want to invite all of us to experience, right? Like Bill Graham says, most of us know about God, maybe from the Bible, you read somewhere, from movie or whatever. A lot of us know about God, but that is quite different from knowing God, like personally or in experiential, in your own experience. And I think that is what I would like all of us to experience, to invite, to join. And that is what we can get when we become a partner of God. You know, a Christian life is not supposed to be about comfort. Some people go to the church to find comfort life, but I think they haven't really read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, I mean, it's just story after story about people who do dangerous things. I mean, you read Moses, you read King David, you read Jesus, or even you read the apostles, none of them has a comfortable life, but they have a fulfilling life. They live with this figure, they live with this purpose, they live with this energy, and they live life to the fullest. That's why I truly believe what the proverb says. Like, when you see what God is working and you become a part of it, you are most blessed because you live with purpose, you live with convictions, and you are part of this mighty work of God, this amazing, miraculous experience. It can be challenging. There can be disappointment. There are some testing period. But at the end, I think that is what we are called to be God's partners in his works, and truly live in fellowship with one another. So I'm just going to close with these words. Let's awaken our senses to experience God. Let our ears listen attentively to his words. Let our eyes seek where God is working in our life, in the life of your family, in the life of the church, or in the life of your coworkers, because God has not stopped working. You know, salvation is done, but his healing works is still going on. He's still seeking the lost. He's still trying to restore broken people. And we are still all invited to take part in this exciting journey. Amen. So I pray that, I hope that, you know, the gospel becomes your new reality, that it's just not a story, one among many that you've heard, one among many stories that inspire you, but I hope that the gospel can truly become your new reality, that change your life. I invite everyone to stand up, and I just want to spend a few minutes in quiet time, and each of us can ask ourselves, God, we've heard the gospel, we've heard about your death, your resurrections, your promise of eternal life, and we celebrate Easter last week. But Lord, is the gospel just another story for us? Ask yourself and just be honest with yourself. What is the gospel for you? Is it just some inspiration story that you pick up when you're down? Is it just some fiction that you think it happened, or is it really something that you believe in? Does Jesus' life, death, and resurrections become your new reality? Does his calling for you to be sons and daughters is your new reality? Is your life as a Christian with one another as brother and sister, as a family, become your new reality? Or is it just some empty words? Do you live with hope because you know that God is real? Or is it just your own wishy-washy? Just pretending that life will be good, just pretending that life will be fine? Or do you want to let God to truly change your life? To change your life from the inside out? To let God transform your life? Ask yourself what kind of life you want. And today I want to pray for all of you as you struggle with this question, as you try to be honest with yourself. Lord, I pray, let the hearts be laid bare. Lord, I pray that I'll come to you with honesty, not with pretense, not with a mask, not with hypocrisy, but Lord, I come to you with all I am, with my weaknesses, with my shame, my disappointment, my worry. And Lord, let your words, let your Holy Spirit change our life. Lord, we want to be a partner of you. Lord, we want to be part of your new family. Lord, and we believe in Jesus Christ. He's not a character. He's not a figure of the past. But Lord, he is real and present even to this day. Lord, help me to live my new reality as your son and daughters. Help me to live with faith and obedience. Thank you, Lord. We surrender your heart. We surrender our hearts to you. And we surrender our lives to you. Amen.